Hey, this is Jeremy. Just wanted to hop on before the episode started with a few announcements. We really want to hear from you, and perhaps the best way to do that, we actually have a subreddit now. It's just r/polyphonicpress, and I'll leave a link to it in the show notes. But it's always been my dream to have a community where we can all get together and talk about the albums that we review and just music in general. So if you want to join the community and start the community, really, because it's quite small right now, it's just r/polyphonicpress. And you can always help out the show in various ways. You can check out our Patreon and get these episodes the day before that they go live, and leave a rating and a review on Apple Music or Spotify or wherever you're listening. Those are great ways to get in touch with us as well. That's it. I just wanted to say that. And now on to the episode. Thank you.
This is Polyphonic Press, the podcast where two music fans pick a classic album completely at random. Using the patented random album generator, they are given an album to review from a curated list of over 1,000 classic releases, spanning multiple genres. And now onto the show. Here are your hosts, Jeremy Boyd and John Van Dyke.
Hey, welcome to Polyphonic Press. I'm Jeremy Boyd.
And I'm John Van Dyke.
And let's not waste any time. We got the patented random album generator right in front of us. So let's hit the button and see what album we're going to be listening to this week. And the album we're going to be listening to is Beck, Odelay.
Oh, that's the one with the picture of the moppy-looking dog.
So, okay, so this is what it says on allmusic.com. Unlike Stereopathetic Soul Manure and One Foot in the Grave, the indie albums that followed his debut, Mellow Gold, by a mere matter of months, Odelay was a full-fledged, full-bodied album, released on a major label in the summer of 1996, and bearing an intricate, meticulous production by the Dust Brothers in their first gig since the Beastie Boys' Paul's Boutique. Odelay shared a similar collage structure to that 1989 masterpiece, relying on a blend of found sounds and samples, but instead of lending the album its primary colors, the Dust Brothers provided the accents highlighting Beck's ever-changing sounds, tying together his stylistic shifts, making the leaps from the dirge blues of Jackass to the hazy party rock of Where It's At seem not so great. Mellow Gold, Odelay winds up touching on a number of disparate strands: folk and country, grungy garage rock, stiff-boned electro, lush exotica, old-school rap, touches of noise rock, but there's no breakneck snap between sensibilities. Everything flows smoothly. The dense sounds suggesting that the songs are a bit more complicated than they actually are. Most of the songs here betray Beck's roots as an anti-folk singer. He reworks blues structures like Devil's Haircut, country with Lord Only Knows and Sissy Neck, soul with Hot Wax, folk with Ramshackle, and rap with High Five and Where It's At. But each track twists conventions either in their construction or presentation, giving this a vibrant electric pulse, surprising in its form and attack. Like a mosaic, all the details add up to a picture greater than its parts. So while some of Beck's best songs are here, Odelay is best appreciated as a recorded whole, with each layered sample enhancing the illusion that came before.
All right.
Okay, so this album was released on June 18th, 1996. The genres are alternative rock, sampledelia, alternative hip-hop, experimental rock, folk rock, and neo-psychedelia.
Interesting. I've never heard the term sample-delia. I kind of like it, though.
Yeah. So there are 14 songs on the album. There's really no side one or side two, so we'll do 7 and 7. Because, I mean, this is, you know, mid-90s, so this was, like, right at the height of CDs. So we will start off with the song Devil's Haircut and end at number 7 with Jackass. And then we'll discuss halfway through and then listen to the back half. So here we go. Here's the first song on the album, Devil's Haircut. Okay, ending the first half of the album with the song Jackass.
And the sound of a jackass, even.
And the sound of a jackass, yeah. I am really into this.
Yeah, me too. This is, it's bizarre, but it's the best kind of bizarre.
Yeah, exactly.
It slaps.
Yeah. It's there's so much going on, and there's so many different sounds, and from all different kinds of sources, and yeah, it's just all pieced together really oddly, and things coming in and out, and one song doesn't sound like the last, but it still fits.
Well, it all sounds like Beck.
It all sounds like him, yeah, that's for sure, yeah. Yeah, there was some really cool guitar stuff on Novocaine. There was like some really cool psychedelic stuff going on in Jackass. It's kind of all over the place, but it still works.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that description that was sample-delic was actually quite apt, because some of the samples you heard sounded very much like that sort of 1960s, sort of those guitar riffs and something like that. And it's just kind of, how do you describe it? Sort of like those psychedelic guitar riffs. It was very, very apt description, I thought. And some of it actually reminds me a lot of like what Eels would go to do.
Yeah. What I've always liked about Beck is he never stuck to one genre. He sort of always he experimented with everything, and you know, did like an electronic album and a psychedelic album, and you know, a folk acoustic album, and you know, all this different stuff. And very interesting artist. I don't know of another artist who has gone to such extremes and been able to have such a success at it, because he's just, you know, been for some reason been able to go in all these sorts of different directions, and it still sounds like him, and it's still very distinctly him. You know, it's not like, you know, when some artists like try to do something else and people like, oh no, this isn't you, what are you doing? He never seemed to get that backlash.
No. And he could and yeah, like you said, his styles vary very much, but it always sounds like him. And it's really interesting. Like, that's not, it's not totally unusual for a band or for a musician or a band to be like that, but they don't normally change as much as Beck does. But it is amazing how much someone's personality comes out no matter what sort of style they're doing. But if you got a strong personality like Beck does, I guess it can't help but come out in no matter what style you're doing.
That's a good point. Like, whenever it doesn't, I guess when another artist tries to do something else, like the example that I think of is like Motley Crue trying to keep up with the times and do like a grunge sort of album.
Oh.
Whereas I think the difference with Beck is he's genuinely like interested and wants to do the it feels authentic. him changing genres, whereas another artist might be just trying to keep up with the times.
Yeah. I mean, there's a certain amount of thing where it feels like pandering, like you describe Motley Crue. I would imagine it would still sound like them, and that might be sort of part of the problem, because mm-hmm. they sound too much like a hair band trying to be grunge.
That's exactly what it is, yeah.
And it still sounds like them, but it's not, somehow it's not in a good way. And you want to sound like you, but it's when you're so, I guess, Beckett just isn't typecast, I suppose.
Yeah, exactly. And so he doesn't have to worry about, like with the Motley Crue thing, like they sort of alienated the fans they already had, and the fans they were trying to get
weren't interested,
weren't
no
into
matter
it.
What.
Yeah. So with Beck, it's sort of like, well, yeah, I do this, but I also do this, and you know, I'm not trying to keep up with the times, or I'm not trying to impress anybody. I'm genuinely interested in making this music, and so I'm gonna make the music that I want to make.
It sort of helps when you're right out the gate with multiple styles,
so people sort of expect the unexpected when you try to sort of put out an album. Yeah. And I mean, this album, for sure, I mean, he's jumping across lots of different genres, and it's, again, it doesn't feel, it's always interesting. It's always, like, I'm sort of going, like, okay, what's he gonna do next? Not like, oh, God, I don't want to hear that. It's more like, oh, what's gonna happen? It's like, it's anticipation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or you're sitting there going, this is weird.
Yeah.
But this still sounds good somehow.
Exactly. Yeah. So with that in mind, let's move on to the second half of the album. And it starts off with a song. I think we all know this one. This is Where It's At. So here we go. Okay, and ending the album with a little bit of noise there called Computer Rock. If my neighbor ever gets out of hand, I'm just gonna play that for 10 hours on repeat and leave the house. yeah, I mean, this album is so... It's really all over the place, and I love it, and it's just, it's so interesting, and it flows really well as an album. It's never boring, although there's surprises. It doesn't, nothing ever feels out of place. It's really hard to do something like that, really hard to pull off, but I mean, this is just, yeah, I really enjoyed this album a lot.
Yeah. No, I like it too. I think I have a copy of it somewhere. I don't know when the last time it is I put it on, but yeah, it's always worth giving it a listen. So, you know, I guess that answers my question, or the question there.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, like, I've never heard the whole album. I knew some of the songs on it. I knew Devil's Haircut, Where It's At, and I think also The New Pollution I've heard as well. But other than that, I wasn't familiar with the album. And Devil's Haircut and Where It's At, those two songs are similar enough that if you went into the album expecting songs like that, you're not going to get that. So it sort of hooks you in. If those were the two first... the first two singles. And so those two songs sort of hook you in to think it's going to be this. I don't know, the songs more like that. And then, but I think, or at least I hope, that most listeners would be pleasantly surprised by, oh, it's not what I was expecting, but this is really cool anyway.
Yeah, well, again, there's little peeks into basically what he's all about when it's like in where it's at and Devil's Haircut and stuff like that. But yeah, it definitely becomes more so as the album progresses. And it's just, yeah, it's just a really great, you know, collection of odd sounds that make you want to move.
Yeah, that's a good way to describe it. Yeah. I think, so we always ask the question is, you know, would you listen to this again? And you answered, yeah, obviously. And my answer is yes, because, you know, although I just listened to it, because there was so much going on, I don't really remember a whole lot of it. And so...
It's worth listening.
It's worth listening to again because it's sort of like it was sort of like I would describe the experience of like of listening to it and sort of going, well, what just happened? What just happened? So it's sort of like, yeah, I loved it and I want to listen to it again because I want to experience it again. And it's one of the I think it's one of the few times where I actually can experience it for the first time again, because I actually, there was so much going on, I don't really honestly remember a whole lot of what I just heard.
Little bits of it I think I could pick out, but yeah, it sort of, I know exactly what you mean by that. It'd still be fresh the first several times. Actually, the album just sounds fresh. That's another good point, is that it doesn't sound too dated compared to things. It's from the mid-90s, and there's a lot of stuff came out in the mid-90s that sounds like the mid-90s. This, yeah, still, it's so unique that it could be put out, you know, I don't know about exactly today, but definitely later on, and it still wouldn't feel out of date.
I think it could be put out today, and it would do well. I think it could. You know, I think there's probably room for it somewhere, you know. It may not be like mainstream pop, but I think it would do pretty well.
No, it's true. I was sort of just thinking about what it would be up against, and honestly, it'd probably blow a lot of stuff out of the water.
Yeah, so I think the question has been answered. We would obviously both listen to this again. I mean, it's just, it's so cool, and I mean, his other stuff is worth checking out too. So yeah, and there, I know there are a few more Beck albums on the list, so we'll definitely be returning to some of his work as well. But yeah, I guess we will end the show there. Thank you so much for listening if you made it this far. You can go to polyphonicpress.com and drop us a line if you feel like doing that. And if you feel inclined to help us out, you can go to patreon.com/polyphonicpress. You got lots of cool perks there, like you get these episodes a week before they go live. You can get you can pick an album for us to review and even get a shout out at the end of these episodes. So there's lots of cool stuff there. And I think that's pretty much it. I'm Jeremy Boyd.
I'm John Van Day.
Take it easy.